Hope you all had a good Thanksgiving. Did it meet everyone's expectations for Thanksgiving? The biggest fight I remember my mom and stepdad having, and it actually got a little physical, was Christmas. Because there's all these expectations for holidays. And instead of having the perfect Christmas with the perfect turkey, the turkey did not make it into the oven on time, and we had a fight in our house. So it's like, I don't know. Holidays can come with some expectations too. But anyways, I hope yours wasn't, there was no fist fights in your house. It was just some turkey, whether it was cooked or not. You had a good time. So anyways, my name's Dove Cranson, and I've been going through a couple weeks. We're going to continue on. The topic is loving well, learning how to love people. And Jesus said that the two greatest commands are to love God with all we have, everything, our heart, mind, strength, soul, and to love other people, love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so we're just kind of looking at that. What does it mean to love people? What does it mean to love each other? And I don't know if the last couple have been challenging to you. They've certainly challenged me. Just know that I get a taste of my own medicine. So today might be challenging as well. Today I want to look at expectations, not just holiday expectations, but expectations and agreements. I want to start with a little story from my life. Years ago, after college, I got a job working manual labor. I got a job moving rock. We used heavy equipment for the big rocks, hand-sized stuff. We did by hand. And then in the winter, I worked in a quarry some. I'm working in this quarry, and I was operating a huge excavator, which is like a backhoe, only with the tracks, you know, and the whole thing spins around. And if any of you ever driven one of those are fun. That is cool. Once you get the handle of it, it feels like your own hand. Just like control that thing, only this huge hand. Just boom. And so we're moving massive amounts of rock out of this quarry. And so I'm on there and I'm just running it. I really like the guy that ran the quarry. And my great aunt always said, because my dad wasn't around, I just latched onto people and like made him my father figure. I don't know if that's true or not, but probably true. And so this guy that ran the quarry, he was a real cool guy. I liked him. And so I'm up on this hill and I'm just loading up the dump truck, slinging rock, and then the dump truck would go off and I'd tidy up a little bit, get my platform nice. And I'm up there and I have no idea what I did. But I mean, we're moving rock. I thought it was smooth going. And then all of a sudden he comes over, he climbs on that excavator and he starts chewing me out. He just let me have it. And he's like, look, this is how you gotta do it, and you gotta keep this front flat, and you gotta move this rock here, and when he's not here, you need to be trying to get it ready for him, and he's just going off on me. And I think because I wanted him to be like this loving dad to me. I'm there on this massive equipment, getting chewed out, and I start just crying a little bit. Like, oh my goodness, what kind of construction worker am I? You know, it's like, and as he's chewing me out, I think, you know, God is kind sometimes. A hydraulic line underneath the excavator bus, and just starts spraying hydraulic fluid all over. And so he has to shut the thing down. Oh, right in the middle of a good chew out. I mean, he was really letting me know how to do it, and then things break and fall apart. He got off the machine. We shut it down. We had to lose a whole day so that we could go find a hydraulic line and replace it. Amazing how those big beasts don't do anything without hydraulic fluid. A little bit of fluid and game over. But as I was thinking about expectations, I think we all have them. But he had some kind of expectation on me that I didn't understand. And even when he was trying to communicate it with all the choice words and all the right inflection, I still didn't understand how I missed the expectation that he had on me. But also, as I think about that, and I could think of tons of examples, I realized that I had an expectation on him. I had an expectation that he would treat me a certain way, And I think my basic expectation is, this is how it works. I do whatever you want, and then you're happy with me. And then you tell me that you appreciate me, and I feel good. This is my agreement. This is my expectation. So this should work, right? What's wrong with this picture? I do whatever you want, you're happy, and then I feel good. And he's not playing my game. And I have these expectations, and I bring those into all of my relationships. I bring these expectations into my close relationships. Has anyone in here ever been disappointed? A couple people, okay. Do you know why you were disappointed? It's because you had an expectation. Which, another word for that is hope. You had hope. And if you didn't have hope, you wouldn't have been disappointed. Because we have an expectation, when that doesn't happen, we get disappointed. And so today, I want to just tell you the solution is never hope for anything ever again. Don't expect good from anybody. And your life will be wonderful. JK. That's not what I want to say. But I want to talk about expectations today. Look at a little bit in the Bible about what it says about expectations. I'm kind of from a different angle. And in this series, The Gift of a Small Church, we've been discussing. So I want to have you guys throw in some input as well. So why don't we pray and we're going to dig into this topic of expectations and agreements. So God, thank you. Thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that you love us so much. God, I thank you that you lowered yourself to love us. I thank you that you met us and meet us right where we're at. Thank you that you love us when we're a mess. Thank you that you love us when we think we're not a mess. In the middle of our pride, thanks for loving us, God. Thank you so much. And God, I ask that you would teach us to love others. I ask that you would give us the courage to go deeper. I ask that you would give us the courage to allow for deeper relationships, to experience real love, not this superficial, sentimental, but I ask that you would grow us in deep love for each other because of your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so first I want to talk about expectations we have on others. What do you guys think? Should we have expectations on other people? Yeah, absolutely, he says, okay. We should have expectations on other people. We should have a sense of hope in other people, an expectation for them. Let's look at that a little bit. The reality is, even if you say no, we shouldn't, you're gonna. So the fact of the matter is we do. Whether you say yay or nay, you do. We have expectations. I have expectations. And sometimes I don't even realize my expectations until they don't happen. And then I'm disappointed. It's like, why am I disappointed? Well, because I had an expectation. But I never would have been able to put it into words. I didn't even know I had it until the turkey's not in the oven and I'm flaming mad. It's like, well, I definitely had an expectation. Wait, that was my mom. Anyways, but I'll see them then. So what kinds of things can we expect from others? You guys think. Or vice versa, what kind of things can we not expect from other people? Okay. So we can have an expectation on those around us that they would show us courtesy, kindness, respect. And that's legitimate. We can actually expect that. That's within the realm of their responsibility to show us those things. Cool. Yeah. I agree. At least with people we love, you know, there's some people I wouldn't expect that from. But in people that care about me, yeah, I think that's a great expectation. What else do you guys think? What can we expect from others or not expect? Don't expect perfection. Yeah, okay. My expectation is for you to be perfect. Yeah. Usually that happens if you have kids, right? It's like somehow you're going to be perfect, whether or not I am. Well, I'm not, but you should be because I know all the things to tell you. You can do all... Anyways, yeah. What should we expect, not expect from people? Seriously, get out of the fast lane. It is for passing, right? Man, I saw and we were driving through Colorado and it says state law, left lane for passing only or something. I'm like, that's a good law. We should pull over some more people. But anyways, you can expect that all you want. You're not going to get it. That's why in El Paso, we pass on the right lane. Yep. Yeah, buddy. Maybe not other places, but that's certainly... Anyways, okay. Honesty. Awesome. Yeah. From people that you love, I think that's a good expectation. Honesty. That the things that are said, we can trust them. That they mean something. They mean what they say. Absolutely. What else? What? Sure. The things that he's agreed to. So your husband has agreed to be committed to you and faithful and to stay with you and whatever other agreements personally you guys have made to each other. Yeah, that somebody's word matters. That the things that they agree to, the things they say, they will do. That's a completely legitimate expectation. Yeah. That's good. You cannot expect people to read your mind or to know what you want from them. We expect that all the time. Maybe I should say I expect that all the time. And we can't. We can't expect that. That is a completely unrealistic expectation. Unless you're married, then certainly your spouse, if they loved you enough. No, come on. Yeah. That's a hard one. Yeah, that's good. Has anybody ever expected that? Certainly. Okay. What else? Any other thoughts before we move on? What's that? Okay, love. And love gets a little vague because it's like, man, if you really loved me, you would have done this and this and this because this is love. Because it says we have a debt of love to each other. We're indebted to each other to love each other. In one sense, we should expect people to love us, but people don't always love me the way I want to be loved. Sure, because Christ loved us, there's an expectation that we will love others, and yet it's easy to look at the other end. Well, you're not loving me as much than to look at our end. There's an expectation that I would love, certainly. Yeah, absolutely. You can't expect that their expression of love will look exact same as your expression of love. That's outside of that expectation. Because certainly I think we kind of come, especially when people get married, it's kind of like, well, the way my family does things is normal. And then some other family comes in, it's like, that's not right. You can't do that. That expectation that the expression should be the same. That's beyond our bounds. They don't have a responsibility to be like us. No one has a responsibility to be like us. And likewise, we don't have a responsibility to become like someone else. That's not our responsibility to be like them. Certainly we have a responsibility to love them, but it doesn't mean we have to, I don't know, think the same and do the same, like be exactly the same. You know, the thoughts, what kind of responsibility do people have towards us? Sure. So at one level, there's no responsibility. People are free. They can do whatever they want. They are not obligated to us in any way. And yet there's a responsibility under God to love each other. So there's a certain amount of responsibility. But yeah, people don't owe us anything. At the end of the day, they can do whatever they want. And like what you were saying, there's different ones. I wouldn't expect the same thing from an employee as a friend, as a lover. It's like, that would be weird if you start like, you know, expecting similar things from different. So it does depend a lot on what the dynamics of that relationship are, what the expectations are on them. But certainly, there are certain things that no one has a responsibility for. And one of the things that just recently in my life, to some of you guys are going to be like, oh, well, of course, I think God's just been teaching me this, looking at my own life, is we do not have a responsibility to make anyone happy. And that's like really been, I don't know, kind of blowing my mind a little bit. I don't have a responsibility to make my kids happy. Certainly I want them to be happy. And certainly I want to do things that are good for them. Certainly I want to bless them and help their lives, but it's not my responsibility to make them happy. And partly I'm realizing, even like I was sharing earlier, part of the reason I want other people to be happy is so then they'll like me, and then they'll like give me praise, and then I'll feel good. It's like this agreement. I'll make you happy, and then you tell me I'm cool, and then we'll both be happy. But we do not have a responsibility to make someone else happy. They do not have a responsibility to make us happy. If you are miserable, it's no one's fault except yours. That's pretty wild to me. If I'm miserable, I would love to tell you why it's my wife's fault. And I could make a pretty good case in my own head. And it's completely illogical. Certainly, she may have done something unloving to me. But she is not responsible for my happiness. And we are not responsible for anyone else's happiness. Anyways, I feel like God's been just kind of changing some of the foundations in me in that, because I've overstepped my bounds. Imagine if we were actually responsible for someone else's happiness. That puts control of their life into my hands. That's messed up. I am not intended to have control of someone else's happiness. And sometimes that's what our expectations are. We put these expectations on people, or they have them on us, to make them happy, and we can't meet those. And at the end of the day, even though it's a sense of control, it's like, I'm going to have an expectation on you so that I can control you, the control moves to the other person because they actually have control of me. I want to just lay out healthy expectations. Healthy expectations involve communication. If we look at this where Paul is writing in this letter to the Corinthian church, and towards the end of his letter, the second letter that he wrote, he lays this out. I thought, just kind of processing, Paul is processing his own expectations as he's writing this letter. He's thinking about, okay, this church had a big train wreck. He sent a letter, told them to clean it up. Things were a mess. They responded well. He's afraid that they're not really receptive to him, so he's writing this letter. And he says, 2 Corinthians 10, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away. That's what they're saying. When you're away, you talk all sharp. But when you're with us, you're real timid. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. So he's kind of fearful. He's laying this out. For I'm afraid, continuing on later on in the same letter, that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I'm afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of their impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged. And what I really appreciate is Paul is just throwing out these expectations. He's like saying, man, I am like, this is what I'm afraid is going to happen. I'm afraid that you guys' reception of me is going to be bad, and I'm going to have to come in and be bold and be like, look, there's stuff that you guys haven't dealt with. We got to go through it. I think that took a ton of guts. It took a ton of guts to address those kind of things. It took a ton of guts to even share, like, the fear that he has in that. And for us, it takes a ton of guts to actually communicate expectations rather than just keep them inside and then pout when they don't happen. I do that plenty. It's super easy. Communicating them takes guts. And so here's a healthy way to communicate expectations. First of all, I think we have to recognize them. What expectations do we have? And sometimes, honestly, I have no idea I have any expectations. I might even say, no, I don't have any expectations. Anything's good. And then when something else happens, Have you guys ever had this? Hey, where do you want to eat? No, I don't care, anywhere you want to eat. Oh, how about here? No, not there. Big liar, you said anywhere. Oh, how about we go here? No, okay, fine, just tell me, where do you want to go? Oh, I don't care, anywhere's fine, you pick. It's like we have the expectations, sometimes we just don't know what they are. But to actually take the time to realize, this is my expectation. I expect that you come home at this time. If you come home at 1 o'clock, I'm going to be upset. I didn't know that until you came home late. Whatever. But to be able to be aware of our expectations. So to recognize them is the first step. And then to let go of the unrealistic ones. You know, I have thought that friends and being married, that people would meet all of my greatest, deepest needs. That it would just be like bliss. And friends are awesome, and a wife is awesome, but people have not met all my expectations. And there's a process of letting go of those unmet ones. And the Bible talks a ton about letting go of things, and this includes death of people. And the process is to actually grieve it, to actually be sad, and in that process, let go of it. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to do a service again like we did last year, which is called a Blue Christmas. So the week before Christmas, we're going to have a service here. I just want to throw it out there. And part of that time is just to grieve our losses. Because what happens is when we're able to really grieve our losses, we can let go of them, and we're able to show compassion to others as they go through things. And some of our losses are just dreams we had. But those are real. Those are significant losses. So that process of letting go involves a process of grief and mourning. A process of acknowledging the hurt, acknowledging the unmet expectation, and giving it to God. Letting go of it. And then the next is to actually communicate them. To actually tell someone, tell our kids, tell our spouse, tell our friends, hey, this is something that is important to me. If we say we're going to meet somewhere and you show up 15 minutes late, then that communicates to me that it's not important. It's important to me. It's important to me that you would at least give me a holler, try to be on time. Even as a classroom teacher, they would always say how important it is to put the rules up. Don't just expect that they know them. Like, actually say, this is what I expect. I expect this and this and this and this. Communicate them. And then lastly, to find an agreement. Sometimes expectations are called one-sided promises because we have a promise. Well, you promised you were going to do this for me, but they never said anything. Like, that wasn't a promise. There was no agreement there. You came up with that in your head. Which I've done, yeah. And so to communicate it, hey, this would mean a lot to me. If you could be home by 6 o'clock, that would really mean a lot to me. And then it come to an agreement of the other person saying, look, here's the deal. I will try to be home by 6 o'clock, but on Tuesdays, it's really hard for me. How about on Tuesdays, I come at 6:30? And you reach an agreement, and then it's no longer a one-sided promise, it's an actual agreement. And agreements actually have power, rather than just these expectations that are in the cosmos somewhere that we're holding people to, and they never actually agreed to it. But okay, that's kind of the framework that I want to throw out there. Expectations of others on us. Should we let them have expectations on us? Should we let people have expectations on us? Yes, okay. Even if we don't let them, they will. So we might as well let them. Yes, it's okay for other people to have expectations on us. That's part of love. That's part of life. Yeah. Why do we not want people to have expectations on us? What's our resistance to other people's expectations? You don't want to disappoint them. Absolutely. That's a good one. Yeah. It's like, if you have expectations on me, I might let you down. So I'd rather if you just didn't expect anything from me, keep the bar really low, and nobody will get let down. It'll be okay. Absolutely. I think another one I've realized is that control thing. If someone has expectations on me, I feel like they're kind of controlling me. Like, oh, I don't want any control. So you can't have any expectations on me. And that's not the nature of life. Do we have a responsibility to other people? Yeah, we do. We have a responsibility to love other people. We have a responsibility to care for other people, and even in specific ways. If you have a friend, you have a responsibility to that friend. If you have a spouse, you have a responsibility to that spouse. If you have parents, you have a responsibility to your parents. If you have kids, you have a responsibility to your kids. If you have neighbors, you have a responsibility to your neighbors. And again, that's different. It's not the same responsibility to each one of those. If you have an employer, you have a responsibility to them. If you have employees, you have a responsibility to them. It's part of life, is responsibility to others. Welcome to Earth. And so we have those. And it's amazing what Paul writes. And I get this flavor so much all over the New Testament. This idea that we will willingly allow ourselves to be servants to someone else. And when Jesus came, he said, even the Son of Man, talking about himself, didn't come to be served, but to serve. The King's Son didn't come to earth so that everybody could serve him. He came to earth to serve people, to give his life, to care for other people. That's the model. And Paul, as he's laying this out in 1 Corinthians, he says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone. That is wild to me. I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And I love this. Paul is just saying, I have allowed myself to be responsible, to be a servant, to be a slave, because I care about other people. And I was kind of meditating yesterday on this idea of, I do it for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in the blessings. So let me just throw out the gospel there. The gospel means good news. And this is the good news. It's like, imagine a proclamation. The King of the entire universe has sent his Son into our kingdom of rebellion. And he didn't send his Son to come and slaughter and make us slaves to his kingdom. He sent his Son to come and be a payment. The payment that we owed his King. And he came and gave his life. He came and served and died and bled and gave everything for us so that we can come back to the kingdom. And all we have to do is receive it and believe. That's the gospel. Jesus has opened the door to God. Anyone who will put their faith in him can come to him. And he's saying, and I tell people about this that I could share in the blessings. I can receive the blessings by telling other people. And so this is the model to me. Jesus gave his life to care for other people. We can give our life to care for other people in the same way. So what kind of things can others expect from us? Okay, they can expect us to be Christ-like. Perfect, right? That's what you mean? Okay, so not perfection, but people should expect us to be like Christ. Okay. In showing humility and love, care, acceptance, being willing to associate with them, not excluding them, pushing them away. Things like how Christ was. Awesome. That's cool. Cool. Handling things according to the word rather than just the norms of how we grew up or the norms of society. People should be able to expect that of us. And so I want to look a little bit about that expectation of making other people happy. And one of the things I really love about the Bible is that the Bible is kind of like life in the sense that there's a lot of pieces. And that puzzle of expectations, I think there's a lot of pieces. It's like, I don't care what you expect of me. I think that's legitimate to say. It doesn't affect me. Also, it's legitimate to say, I really care about what you expect of me. There's this mix in expectation of like, I'm not meeting your expectations, but at the same time, I'm caring about your expectations. Anyways, and I love the Bible because it's that way. And so we're going to look at some verses and I'm going to put this picture together, hopefully. So the first one in 1 Corinthians 10 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way." What an amazing phrase. "I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved." Again, Romans 15. "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up." Okay, should we try to please other people? Yes. It says, right? We should please other people. They're right here. We should please everyone. Each of us should please our neighbors. We should please other people. Okay? And then Paul also writes, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." Should we try to please people? No, of course not. We should try to please God, only God. You will never please people. And to me, this is the beautiful mix of caring for other people's expectations and not living under other people's expectations. We have a responsibility first and foremost to God. And in that responsibility to God, we should care for other people. We should care for their needs, their desires, their wants. But at the same time, our identity does not come from that. It does not make you who you are. Okay, so this is how I want to lay it out. We are not responsible to make other people happy or to be someone we are not. Of course, I hear people that use this a lot. It's like, well, I can't come home at 6. It's just not who I am. I'm just not a person who comes home at 6. You're trying to make me somebody I'm not. Like, that's not the point. That's not who you are. I can't put the toilet seat down. That's not who I am. I'm not a person who puts the toilet seat down. It's like, oh really? That defines you? You're defined by being a person. But we are responsible before God to care about what pleases others and to build them up. In other words, we should please people for their sake, not for our sake. We should please people because God loves them and we should care for them, not because we get a sense of identity from that. So hopefully those pieces made sense to you, of pleasing people for their sake, not pleasing people for our sake. We only please God to find our identity. So the main thing that I want to throw out there, and this is super hard, it takes a lot of guts, is to actually have the ability, the guts to make agreements rather than expectations. Another helpful tool is ask them, "Hey, can I have permission to read your mind?" And then if the person says yes, you say, "Well, it seems to me that you're expecting this. Is that right? Or can I clarify an assumption? It seems to me you're assuming this." One of the things that Holly and I do sometimes on the weekends is, and we heard this at the marriage conference, we'll say, "What's on your hidden agenda today?" Because if we have a weekend and at the end of it, both of us will be like, "This was awful. We didn't do anything that I wanted to do. You didn't even care about it." Like, well, nobody ever said anything. And so just to be able to speak that, And then on the flip side, to actually ask that, hey, boss, okay, what are your expectations of me? What do you actually want? What do you want me to do? Explain to me. How do you want me to use this excavator? And I'll try to do that. Rather than this moving target that nobody knows and it's not even spoken and we're trying to meet it or we're trying to get somebody else to meet it. So on our end, communicate our expectations. Find out what they are and communicate them. On the other end, clarify them. What do people expect? What does your friend expect of you in this situation? What does your spouse expect of you? Ask. Make it an agreement, not just, you know, this fuzzy assumption that we can never meet. So, all right. Thank you guys for your participation in that. I think this is a pretty challenging topic, and it would kind of be nice if we could throw out all of our expectations and we'd never be disappointed again. But hope is a good thing, and we should expect each other to love us. We should expect good from each other. Let's pray. Thank you, God. I give you, Father, the places that I have expected of others that were not in their place to fill. And the things that I have demanded or thought, I don't know, people owed me. Thank you that you're the one that meets my needs. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you define me, not other people, not if they're happy with me. I just release my need to make other people happy or for them to make me feel happy. I just acknowledge that's from you. I ask that you would grow us in taking control of that ourselves. And I ask that you would help us to communicate expectations well. Give us the courage. In Jesus' name, amen.